hear me all right. It's getting late. It's past my bedtime now, because I have to go birding in the morning. Six. I have spent a great part of my life with Norwegians since my father and mother were immigrants from Norway, and I was raised in a Norwegian community called Snus Hill. I guess now you'd call it Snuff Hill, but it really was called Snus Hill. And I learned Norwegian is the first language I learned, and not very well. I sort of quit it when my grandmother died at 10. She couldn't understand English. And I learned some other languages too, because we had a country telephone, so we learned a lot. That's how you got your information. But you had to be multilingual, because there were also Swedes there and Danes. So you learned some of their language too. Nobody could understand the Finns, not even the Finns. My first introduction to Norway, I wear a lot of buttons, and I'll explain some of them as I go along. Til lykke med dagen, that's have a good day, sort of. Jeg elsker deg. See, Norwegians hardly ever tell you that they love you. The Norwegian husband never tells his wife he loves her. He might write it out like this, you see. They used to say in the old Norwegian church in my hometown about the Norwegians, many are cold, but few are frozen. I think it's scriptural. Norse, of course, is one of the buttons. Think Lefse. And the most significant one is Think Lutfisk, and I'll explain that to you later. I have an Ufta sign there. I'll also explain that later. But my first trip to Norway was about 31 years ago. I was in an international conference in Stockholm, and my friends in Norway heard I was coming there, and they said, well, you must come and speak to our national meeting in Norway. And then they wrote back and said, well, you know, we've all had English, but we don't speak it real well, so you got to talk real slow. Then no problem, I'll give it in Norwegian, which was mistake number one. But I did this. I had somebody translate it in a reasonable form. And I gave half the talk at this at Shishon by Lillehammer at this meeting. They all told me right afterwards, you know, what a great job I did. They had a big banquet after this, and everybody drank, or almost everybody drank a lot of aquavit. And by 11 o'clock, I had realized I had been informed about all my mistakes. They all got honest about 11 o'clock. Newspaper in Oslo, they wrote about this talk I gave. They said this fellow who had never been to Norway gave this scientific dissertation in a Frisk Gudbrandsdalen dialect, which means the closest thing I can get to it. He gave it in a fresh Ozark twang. Because, you see, what happened is that the Norwegian I learned was from my father and mother, who came from the same part of Norway, Gudbrandsdalen. It was the language of the country folk, but it was also old. It was 1900, you see. So everybody gets a big charge out of me when I speak this language, and especially the way I fracture it. My last visit, I've been to Norway many times. My last visit was a very remarkable one. It was because I'd never been to Norway on May 17th. It's the biggest celebration in all the world. Everybody celebrates May 17th there, and also in this country. It's called the Suttnamai. And it's some people call it Norwegian Independence Day. It's really, I guess, the new Constitution Day. Whatever they call it, it's a fantastic celebration. Well, my friends at the University of Oslo said, well, we got to get Busted out to give a talk because he's coming. We can't very well not ask him. So they lined up a big interview in Midtown, Oslo, on the busiest day of the year, Friday before Sunday, the 17th of May. And it was a great interview. It was leading newspapers of Norway. And the interview went well. After we finished, the photographer says, we must have a picture of you and a dog. And I thought they were out of their tree because here we are in the middle of Oslo, cars going like crazy. But we went down the 8 floors to the main street, and one of the younger correspondents says, I see a dog. And she went running through the traffic. I thought it'd be the last I saw of her. But she finally came back, and she says, I caught up with this lady in the bank, and she agreed that you could have a picture taken with her dog. So they introduced me to her, and it was Britt Langley. And that didn't ring a bell with me. It turns out she's one of Norway's leading actresses, and her dog's name was Pioff. Well, at that time, she was playing in a long-run play in Oslo. She played the part of Edith Pioff, the famous Parisian singer. And this was a scrawny dog. But the next day, I was pictured with Pioff, or Pioff and I were pictured on the front page of the leading newspaper. The story doesn't end there, because some real friends of Holden are the Josens. They're also from Pullman, Washington. I'm from Pullman, Washington now. I left Snooze Hill. And Pullman is a bit like Snooze Hill. It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. And the Josens, I mean, they were riding in the train in Norway, minding their own business, and somebody sitting across from them in the train, they opened up their newspaper, and here was Busted and Pioff, and they says, oh, no, you can't get away from that guy. But we had a fantastic 17th of May. I saw it in Oslo, and everybody paraded for many hours before the king, and everybody was all dressed up, and then we went out in the country, and everywhere we went, there were big celebrations. To point out this is when I really realized that God was Norwegian, was when we had the blow-up of Mount St. Helens. Do you remember that about 4 years ago? It's hard for me to forget that. And if you recall when it was the 18th of May. You see, God realized that, you know, all the Norwegians would be celebrating on the 17th of May. So he waited till the 18th. So that was final proof for all of us Norwegians. Now, there's another great celebration on the 17th of another month, and that's the 17th of March. And that's the celebration of St. Patrick's great and noble deed in driving all the Norwegians out of Ireland. Some of you think it was for something else, but it wasn't. It seems that centuries ago, many Norwegians went to Ireland to escape the bitterness of the Norwegian winters. Ireland was having a famine at the time, and food was scarce. To make matters worse, the Norwegians were eating all the fish caught in the area, leaving the Irish with nothing but potatoes. St. Patrick, taking matters into his own hands, as most Irishmen do, decided the Norwegians had to go. Secretly, he organized the Eretrion, which is the Irish Republican Army, to rid Ireland of Norwegians. Irish members of the Eretrion sabotaged all the power in hopes that the fish in the Norwegian refrigerators would spoil, forcing them to go to a colder climate where the fish would keep longer. Now, the fish spoiled all right, but the Norwegians, as everyone knows, thrive on spoiled fish. Faced with failure, the Irishmen sneaked into the Norwegian fish storage caves in the dead of night, and they sprinkled the rotten fish with lye, hoping to poison the Norwegian intruders. But as everyone knows, this is how lutefisk was introduced. And they thrive on this lye-soaked, smelly fish. And that's the truth. Now, matters became even worse for the Irishmen when the Norwegians started taking over the Irish potato crop to make lefse. Because that's made out of potatoes. Think lefse. Poor St. Patrick was at his wit's end, and he finally told all the Norwegians to go to hell. And it worked. All of the Norwegians left Ireland and went to North Dakota. Some of you, I collect T-shirts too, and some of you saw my T-shirt earlier. But it's hard to be humble when you're Norwegian. I have several of these various kinds. I'm proud to be. They sometimes have trouble with spelling, but now. And I am very proud to be Norwegian. And because it's remarkable that such a small country has so many firsts. I have been totaling up in recent times the number of firsts that have been claimed by the Russians, because they're always claiming a first. And the last count, the Norwegians were ahead of them. And I just like to review about a dozen of these with you now, sort of to make the point with the non-believers. And of course, the one we're most proud of is Leif Erikson discovering America. It was really tough on me going through school, because we had a picture in our living room of Leif Erikson discovering America. And when I went to school, they tried to tell me that a fellow named Columbus did this. But he was a Johnny-come-lately. I mean, 500 years later, and they're still teaching it. I always send Leif Erikson cards on Columbus Day. And I'd like to have you join me on this. You know, if enough of us do it, I think we can change things. And I believe in truth. Now, how he come to discover it is kind of interesting. He was really looking for a shorter route to find more lutefisk and snus. And that's why he discovered Minnesota. Now, the next, are we going to have, I just have to do something here, yeah. The other thing that we're probably most proud of, because we live now in the technological age, and probably the greatest, the discovery that's made the greatest impact on our present civilization, our present society, is the computer. And Norwegians built the first computer. This is a Norske calculator, made in Norway. And now that's the second one. You can keep track. I failed to mention one thing. You know, it's very clear about who discovered America. But it's unclear as who discovered Norway. And I want to spike an ugly rumor right now that the Swedes are putting out. They claim that a Roto-Rooter man discovered Norway. Another first for the Norwegians, they were the first one to invent a disposal. A garbage disposal. They put a pig under the sink. They also discovered the first color television. It was a keyhole to the next door apartment. They also had the first, ice factory in America. They built it in St. Paul. The reason most of you don't know about it is that it was closed because they lost the recipe. They were the first people in Scandinavia to introduce a mixed drink. It was made out of vodka and milk of magnesia. They call it a Phillips screwdriver. They also had the first soft drink. in Scandinavia. It was a mixture of prune juice and 7-Up. They called it Hurry Up. They also discovered, because, as you might expect, they were seafaring people, and they discovered the first compass. I have it here. It says Norwegian compass. They don't have the points marked on it, but it says turn over to see who is lost. It's a mirror. I am lost. I'm looking for my next point here. They also had discovered the first matched luggage. I often carry it. It's two brown paper sacks. They were also the first ones to start the Norwegian Lutheran Church in America. I guess that's pretty straightforward. But there was some early trouble with this. They started it in Minneapolis. But they got kind of shook up because the Norwegians in the church there in Minneapolis, they were kind of wicked off because they found a lot of references to St. Paul in the scriptures, but nothing regarding Minneapolis. I was in aerospace as a consultant in the early days to aerospace when we were trying to shoot stuff upstairs. You may recall it too, we did send a non-human primate up there. It's a well-kept secret that that monkey was not alone. Now, it had a lot of complicated tasks. It was trained to respond to certain inputs and stimuli, and it did accomplish this mission. What is not known is that somebody had to feed and clean up after it. That was a Norwegian sent up there. So that was the first person in space, was a Norwegian. They also built some shoes that were very popular. They called them simple shoes. And they were very popular on the Swedish market. They had printed on them TGIF. The toe goes in first. Now, this gives you some kind of a feel, I think, for this. And this particular story kind of introduces you to some of the stories that Norwegians and Swedes share. Depends on who has the podium, how it comes out. And I happen to have the podium tonight. But one of the ones that really wicked me off when I was growing up in Stanwood, or in Snooze Hill, it was told by the Swedes, and it was on old Ole Muckleboost, and he would often go down to the East Side Tavern in East Stanwood and come home late at night, and he wasn't always full comprehension of just where he was. On this particular night, he happened to miss his own turn-in to the Muckleboost place, and he ended up in Hammervald's place. And he went into the first building that he found, which happened to be the hog house, and he laid down by the first warm body he found. And it made sort of a funny noise, and he says, "Är du svensk?" You know, are you Swede? And all he got back was, "Norska, norska, norsk." Sometimes the feelings between them get a bit out of hand. Gothenburg, or Göteborg, is the largest Swedish town near the Norwegian border. And they publish, because it circulated somewhat in Norway, they publish the obituaries for the Norwegians, but it's in the home improvement section of the newspaper. Two good Norwegian friends would go out hunting often, and this particular year they went out deer hunting, and they got separated, and one of them ended up shooting the other one, took him quite a while to get to the nearest town to an emergency. And they took him into surgery, and of course his friend was walking the hall there waiting for word, and finally the surgeon came out and he said, well, he was shot pretty badly, but we probably would have had a chance at saving him if you wouldn't have dressed him out. two Norwegians were at a funeral of their friend Halvor, and one of them said after they'd passed by the open casket, "You know, Halvor really looks good." The other one says, "Well, he should. He just got out of the hospital." My Uncle Louis was my mother's oldest brother. I don't think he'd ever been to the doctor. He's 65 then. He'd been complaining for several years. So somebody convinced him that he ought to go to the doctor. So they told him he ought to go to the Dr. Gunderson there in Stanwood, which he did. And the receptionist said, stripped to the waist. So he took off his pants. That's part of my problem. You plant a bean, you get a bean, and genetics catches up with you. My friend Lars Larsen came from Sweden as an adult before the war, and he worked with General Electric Company where I was. We became very good friends, and he told me that he had a difficult time when he first came. He said that it took him 5 years to learn how to say job, and then they changed it to government project. A man not a Scandinavian at the outskirts of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, was troubled with skunks under his house. And one day, it was a Friday at work, and he was complaining about this, and there was a Norwegian there. And he said, "Well, I know how you can take care of that." He says, I still have some lutefisk at my house, and you just put that under the house." So he came by on his way home that night, and he put it under the house. Well, he came back Monday morning, and he was pretty well wicked off, and he found his friend, so-called friend, and the friend asked him, you know, how things went. Well, he said he sure got rid of the skunks, but now it's full of Norwegians, and that's a bigger problem. Somebody in the front row told me that. Norwegians are good fishermen. And two Norwegians, they always went fishing in northern Minnesota every year. And this one year, they really had good luck. They fished in a new place, and they'd never had such good luck. So Olaf said to Hans, "You know, you better mark this spot." He says, "Okay." So well, they got back to the boathouse, and he says, "Did you really mark that place?" "Yeah, he marked it here right on the boat." He says, "You dummy. What if we don't get the same boat next year?" I spoke out in Ballard on the Norwegian Independence this year. The Norwegian Independence Day this year. And I was a little early. I like to make it early to these things, especially out in Ballard. You can always pick up a few extra stories out there. Ballard, if you don't know it, is in Seattle. And that's where all the Norwegians are. And I heard a couple of good ones there. But the president of the Sons of Norway was there, and he was complaining. We were talking about tragedies. And he says, "Well, the worst tragedy that's happened here in the Sons of Norway is that we built a fine library, burned up, got both books." And the tragedy of it is, one of them wasn't even colored in yet. And another one was complaining because they were having their 50th wedding anniversary. And this the lady was expecting her brother out from Fargo. And he came 2 days late for the big celebration. And she asked him, how come he's late? Well, you know, traveling all this distance. And I saw all those signs, clean restrooms. So I was cleaning restrooms all the way across. I'll give you a couple of few definitions here. You can always tell a, you know, what is a level-headed Norwegian? Well, you can always tell him because snooze runs out of both sides of his mouth. A social climber is a Swede that marries a Norwegian. The most famous Norwegian inventor was Henry Fjord. Gross ignorance are 144 Norwegians. And then I... takes a while. Ufta. That's probably one of the most inclusive words there is. If it was in the American dictionary, it would have pages of definition. I have several pages of definition of it, but I'll only give you one of them. If you're the head usher for all three services in the biggest Lutheran church in the Twin Cities on Easter Sunday, and then on the way home, you're walking home, and you look down and you see your fly open. And you say, oofta. I close this part of my presentation with a story from a friend of mine who has large holdings on the Norwegian border next to Sweden. And one day, in fact, when I was back there just 2 years ago, he told me that he was walking along there on a pleasant day, and he chanced to meet a Swede who had a pig on a leash. He thought this was quite unusual, so he stopped him. And he says, you know, that's really something. He says, where did you get it? I won it in a bingo game, said the pig. This serves to introduce you to my presentation on Saturday, which is my life with the pigs.